The minor may be a different thing. It's a graduate.
Yeah, but the point is that this extends beyond that. For instance, the outreach in a component is also a major component. It's a component that actually will fund, bring resources, indeed, to the institute, you know, for the university, and then provide some kind of visibility. So it's not just a grad program, but a grad program is now the starting point. Actually, that calls for this, you know. So I'm looking at the three.
I wouldn't think it's a start point. The structure of the institute is a start point.
Yeah, but the necessity.
Can I say, I think, of course, the structure is important, but
yeah,
we need
sure.
to define
sure.
What the institute is going to do. Because once you define that, you know who has to be sitting
exactly.
at this table.
Exactly.
And then you discuss the structure
yes.
among those people.
Okay, yes.
By including that in the structure, I mean, what is it for its members?
Right.
That sort of thing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so as far as structure is concerned, and I'm sure that everybody has had a chance to look at what obtains in other university, and also based on the dean and an associate dean, what they have told us, the impression is that there's going to be three arms of the institute or functions. One is educational, to administer the grad program. The other one is outreach. The outreach is, you know, industrial liaison and the associate programs, probably certification programs, if there is a need for that. Then there is a research component. In the research component, which is also integrated with the grad program, here also the major trust areas and research activities, you know, become a focal point. And what those are will be defined by the committee and the faculty members. So I think that today, bearing this in mind and looking at the agenda that we just set, I think we'll have another general discussion on the institute, and then the function of the institute, the nature of it. And as we do so, I will always want us to tackle the educational issue first. For instance, co-listing courses. We here can actually indicate, especially, you know, Francisco and Darian that are from, you know, BME, you know, whether there are courses already that somebody is teaching that material students could have, also whether there are courses that materials professors could teach, you know. The idea is that over time, core MOSC members could be somebody who actually teaches a course that is approved, admitted by the committee, that is approved by the committee. You know, for instance, if you teach, let's say, electronic characterization, and we think that's part of our characterization is actually needed, then the person teaching that course, that's my idea, could actually, if he elects to, become part of the core MOSC faculty if they want to, and then if admitted, you know. So this, you know, if we look at the educational aspect of this, and then, you know, what other function we think the institute would
there's
have.
There's a graduate college protocol as to how you become a member of the graduate faculty.
Yeah.
That's now published and accepted.
Okay.
But now he had courses and that sort of thing. Remember, we have a program. So the program has to be incremental. When we change it, it has to include the students.
Yeah.
We do want to broaden it, but it's a broadened program, not designed.
The idea is to broaden it. And then, because even though the grad program has not had a problem with this ranking and then attracting students, there's a need to, you know, involve more people so that, you know, we can expand, you know, in research offerings, you know, especially in the emerging areas and important areas, you know. Anyway, so what I would like us to do is that to make sure everybody participates, this is very important, that we go around the table as many times as we can and every person could, as much as they want, you know, air their view, you know, and then we go around and then we can do it as many times as we can, just allow us to be part of this.
Can I ask a question?
Yes,
so
please.
We're talking about the graduate courses.
Yeah,
right?
Graduate courses.
Masters and PhD level.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And you know that some of your students, are taking the materials minor now. Some BME chemistry students.
These are undergraduate.
Undergraduate, yeah. That's a little different.
That's the same thing because for us, the only material courses are composites, which is for undergrads. It's not for grad. We don't have any graduate course that has materials in it.
Okay, great. Okay, so the course that Professor Gu teaches, Gu Liu,
that is undergrad.
Is it undergrad? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Okay, then that's good. We
only have a couple of graduate courses on the book, so that should be made available. Certainly,
in aerospace.
No, they're not in aerospace.
Right. So yeah, I'm talking about most of the
graduate courses.
Yeah. For instance, I know Prof. Nagy was interested in the materials composite that Raj taught, and then I'm teaching polymer composite. It's a dual level, you know. So eventually mechanism will be such that they can be co-listed if there's a need for anybody to take it from aerospace, you know. So that is good. All right. So I think Vesco was not here in the last meeting. Maybe we can start with Vesco. The minutes, you know, I'm sure there's a lot to read, you know. But you can air your view, and then we'll go from you through Reva to Greg. You know.
If anyone wants to change the minutes, I mean,
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they can make corrections. Yeah. Yeah, you can see I worked on it a little bit, you know.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Would you send the electronic version, and I'll just send you back?
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Okay. We'll do that.
Yeah, you can change whatever you want. Right?
Yeah. Alright. Okay. So Vesco, you want us to give you some more time to. We're looking at the functions. What do you think? I mean, I just after reading through some of the activities in other universities, you know, where there's institute, and then also after the meeting we had, you know, I came out with some sense of a broader. Function, and then towards the last page there is a specific the mission statement, specific missions of the institute. I think that in order to move this forward, we need to focus discussion on something that really. We can tell them this is what we discuss. This is what pertaining to the institute. Vesco, do you think that it's good to have the educational program, according to Teclin, the grad program will be housed in the institute as a focal point? Is that a good idea?
Start first with the reason I missed the last meeting because we had a visitor, Professor White from Dalhousie University in Canada. And she has been a director of the research in materials institute there, very, very similar to what we are doing for 10 years. So after her presentation, she gave a science presentation, I arranged her to meet with Dr. Lin. He just finished the meeting here. And I'd like to share with you what she said. At the institute, they have IRM, Institute for Research in Materials, is very, very close to what we are targeting here. It's an umbrella institute, and so to say, the constitution of this institute, she kind of summarized, there is no pay. If you want to be member, you don't pay anything. Membership is open for any faculty working with materials, full membership. Graduate students and postdocs and technical support staff are associate members. This institute is also an open door to the industry. They generate a lot of money through the industry. They have two staff members. They have two staff members. One of the staff members is a former graduate from one of the materials program. So when the industry calls for certain project or research or characterization of material, this staff member is the first one who answers, and she knows what is going on, what kind of facilities are there. They have a budget, by the way. They have a budget, although the overhead goes to the faculty members, goes to the departments. They have some mechanism to collect the budget about $500,000-$600,000 a year. They have a budget. In order to operate such an institute, she said, we needed a budget, and our university realized that and supported it. And their institute is cross university institute. University of Dalhousie in Canada is half University of UC, about 20,000 students,
yes.
But they have everything. They have medical school, they have science, they have, similar like we have here. And the institute goes across the university. Right now, we are focusing really the College of Engineering, which is that you can think in the future to have it as an umbrella for the architecture. She said very often the architecture faculties, they're very active members because it comes to new materials for building, construction, medical school also for implants and so on and so forth. So this is a good model for our institute, and actually taking appreciated her insights, and she said she can provide further and information can be of help to advise. It should be an open institution with budget. We haven't thought about budget here.
Yeah.
A lot of good things can die as ideas if we don't have the right budget. And we have to talk to Declan how to shape a budget for this institute.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The characterization center, which will be part of this institute, has potential to generate money. They get a lot of money in Canada through their characterization center.
So you're talking about providing service to industry.
Yes.
So they come and they want to do X-ray, specimen.
Right now we have industry, General Electric, Procter & Gamble. They're coming to the characterization center asking for help, and sometimes they have problems that go beyond simple characterization. They need the input of a certain faculty having expertise in certain area, so then they are charged a little more for that if faculty gives an opinion or interprets data and so on and so forth.
So what does the budget cover in the center? Is permanent staff, I suppose, that looks after the center, and that's the first point of contact for industry.
They organize certain events twice a year, and their reports for each year are on the web. So if you Google them, every year they put reports on what they do, what they accomplish. It's a good question. Now we can ask her what does it cover, but obviously, this institute to function needs a budget.
Yeah.
Something that, if the college wants to go ahead, should think how to shape this budget.
Yeah, Dr. Kina, former associate dean, was making that point the very second day, say, of the meeting, the second meeting. He said you had to have a budget, and then also about this overhead. You know, there has to be aware we are participating faculty. Part of the overhead goes to the institute. Indeed, the institute needs a staff. You know, for instance, even getting the minutes together is actually a hell of a problem. During the qualifying exam, if this houses a grad program, there's a lot of paperwork that goes with that. You know, so it requires that, you know. But you actually can see that I actually looked at Diaz, I looked at Delaware, then I looked at UConn, and I looked at MIT's institute. Those are also teaching and research, and those are just research. There is one in England that involves both the IRC from England and Canada, you know. And then I looked at the mission statement in the same line as what you're saying. So And we have made an attempt. I talked to the head of chemistry, Dr. Heinemann, and he said he would nominate some faculty members. I haven't received them yet. We also reached out to the College of Medicine. But I think through BME, it would be easier to actually find out who their collaborators are and then work with them directly. But the dean of the College of Medicine, I did send a voicemail to him and then trying to, you know, see whether he knows somebody who can actually be involved at the early stages. Yeah, I think that a UC-wide institute is more functional than just College of Engineering Institute, you know, because more resources could, you know.
DAP is also a good place.
Yes, yeah.
And what are the benefits of such institutes you shared? First, everyone involved is on the database.
Yes.
And if some problem to be tackled appears, just an email it circulates, and whoever wants to participate, let's say for a new proposal, she said, we put together very fast a team for tackling proposals like energy, biomedical, nano and stuff, very easy because all these people are on the database, and the director of the institute sends a message saying, who wants to participate in this proposal? In just a few hours, they know who is going. And also, who has facility to help solving this problem? We have someone from IBM asking us to help with something. And within minutes, she said, we get response for the faculty. Yes, I have this, I have that, I can contribute to this. And they work like a team, and they feel that very efficient.
Yeah, actually, that's in the spirit of almost the last, set of discussion we had, and that's the committee who we are members who are here also addressed this a vital role, proposal writing, joint proposal writing, identifying resources, RFPs,
and then
having a team, immediately address. Indeed, the team is somebody who actually is part of the core committee, could reach out to their school and find people who have expertise, one or two, and bring them, and then so that the collaboration could right away be formed. And then I think in terms of proposal, we'll probably be given time limits. Say within a week we need an abstract and so on and so forth. I think the institute can do that. And I think really, for instance, managing the AMCC, it takes a lot of resources. And proposals have to build around it. Every proposal that an institute member writes has to involve using AMCC and has to have some funds for maintaining and updating. That's the only way, if this is done, then it doesn't become a burden to the university. Because now it looks like as a burden, they say they're spending like $200,000 every year. But if you run it this way, it becomes literally faculty controlled, and there's resources available because every proposal we write, just like we include grad student funding, we include funding for maintenance and upgrading of MCC facilities. So that really helps quite a bit. So you're in agreement with the true spirit, general spirit of the institute, and you think it's a good idea?
Well, I mean, in the beginning,
yes,
with these meetings, and I think it's very timely to
yes.
have this institute. The institute have a broad base. I'm glad that Daria and Francisco are here. We have to have more people
yes.
Involved in this.
Yeah, Tabei was here last time. And then Jim Swanson, I think because of the change of time, he couldn't make it, Tabei couldn't. But I think the idea would be to move the time, and then also every week we still have that 11 o'clock that everybody had agreed to, they're free, 10 to 11. It's 11 to 12, it's 10 to 11. Is it 11 to 12?
11 to 12.
So we still have that on Wednesdays, but we can have two other meetings, 8 o'clock. Each week, just to make sure that many more people are involved in this,
I think
Yes.
Yes, we have also other commitments. Well, why don't we set it regularly?
We already,
and then everybody knows that they have to keep.
We're already using that.
Open for the day.
Yeah, I agree. With the schedule, the doodle something, only that 11 to 12 Wednesdays, you know, fits more people.
Right.
So we're using that as a regular time. But also, we can have other meetings if there are people who cannot make it but can come to our meeting. Probably just to get your opinion too. And then on the Wednesday meeting, the 11 o'clock meeting, whatever they said could also be conveyed to members who can make it, you know, at the 11 o'clock meeting, just to make sure that we do more and get everybody's opinion as much as possible, because we will sound the summary of this opinion to the dean, and what they do with it, that's their problem. But our problem is to make sure that we have used this opportunity to discuss this, to set the parameters and give to them, you know, and hopefully they'll act on it.
It's important now to make sure we know who is part of this institute. I'm not talking about the committee, but
yes,
the institute. So I feel that this should be a priority, and knowing and having a database, so we have these 20 people, 30 people that agreed to be part of this. Do we have any commitment from the faculties who wants to be part of this institute?
Well, I have a commitment from their directors, school directors. Each school director nominated at least two people. Indeed, Herminski, the is director for electrical, actually suggested that Bushan. So if you look at it, we have about 20 members that have been suggested. But my thinking is that when I went back to Teklim and then showed him the list I had, he said that we had to reduce the list so that we can be productive. He said you don't involve everybody in the committee, because then by the time everybody had the opinion, you probably have, you know, be all over the place. So then we try to reduce the number to about 12.
12 members?
For the committee.
No, I'm talking about the institute.
Yes.
Because I believe in the bottom-up approach, not the members of the institute shouldn't be appointed by the heads, but they have to be, it should be free will of the faculties. If you work with materials, if you feel that you can contribute and benefit from this institute, it should be open.
Yes.
Are
you taking that?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
So that's what works in Canada and other places.
Yeah, I agree. I think what they did at the first instance, indeed, you know, I knew this because Professor Awatev told me that the dean has requested. He went to the school directors and asked them to nominate people from their school who have interest in materials activities, research and education. So she picked some people and then sent back those people to the dean. Then based on that, the dean also selected some core people who are already in materials. So she nominated him, but she said, well, you're already there, you know. But what they have done is the second round of doing that, you know, after the election of a chair, then they sent me back to the school directors to talk to them to, again, nominate members. So naturally, they sent people or more. But what I think is this. Then when I went back to him, he said, okay, for the committee, you reduce the number so that you'll be more efficient.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I think that once this is done, they will do it open again to all the faculty members within the college and outside who are interested,
yeah,
and to then, you know, become part of this. Then those who, at that point, you know, agree to participate, become the full membership,
yeah,
of the institute. That's what I think. So it's step by step. Those who have time to go through, you know, discussing and structuring this, and then later on, everybody who has interest in teaching and research.
I mean, the Dalhousie has 100 faculty involved, but if you look at UConn, they have probably 20, right? At UConn's Institute for Material Science,
yeah,
probably 20 faculty. So, I mean, Dalhousie is a small school, right? with 100 faculty. It's all the science faculty, aren't it?
Yeah.
That's the entire science faculty of that school.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, that's too open, I think.
Yeah, how can you decline anyone?
Well, that's the question. I mean, what's the criterion to join the Institute?
Well, if you look at, if you consider what Reva said earlier, for instance, those who want to be involved in grad teaching, they have to go through some mechanism.
But that's for the teaching.
That teaching, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's distinct.
That's
the MSc, yeah, grad program separate from the Institute.
It's quite different.
From
you can be part of the Institute.
But even now, there's still a need. I mean, how many grad faculty do we have now? Let's say metals.
Uh-huh.
We have only 2 people in metals now, right?
Three.
Supposing somebody in civil.
Three.
Okay.
But so, it's a separate criterion, though, right?
Well, if somebody in civil, for instance, let's say Dr. Tabei is interested in providing courses in mechanical behavior and finite element that our students need.
Yeah, Jude,
I got to go with a few minutes, but let me just say a few words. I completely agree with what, you know, Vesco was saying.
Yes.
And in the educational part, which you're talking about, the graduate program, it's a subset of that. Actually, the there's nothing wrong with the graduate program except it needs to be
broadened.
No,
I agree.
Right,
totally.
So that's not the issue, per se. The issue is, what is the Institute? Okay, an Institute is usually set up for 3 things. One is to provide, the main thing actually is the research component to that, you know. So you have like-minded people who, from which you can form subsets that will do research proposals. It's also set up to provide an interface with industry with different rules.
Yes, yes.
So that the, you know, the usual university rules don't apply. It can apply students as employees.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So, and the third thing, we have this function of oversight of the characterization center, which is a technical thing and quite involved. So, and it has to be localized to here. I mean, if you look at different institutes, but it has to fit.
That's fine. Actually, you know, that's the spirit, because that's what CS had taken charge.
Right.
And any other school, you know, college that wants to participate can participate at a level that is appropriate.
Right. But it's not, but that's totally right. When at some point soon, we should be inviting people. But that's a decision. Who is a member of the Institute? So
well,
that, we decide that anyone who has an interest in being part of this research entity, that's primarily what it is. It's a research entity, right? In materials, and would like to be part of materials.
In materials and related areas, yeah.
You know, are eligible to apply. And I don't particularly see any reason why you deny anyone.
That's fine.
Right?
You know, I'm sure Greg is taking, that is very important. The definition of membership is important.
But that's the first thing you do.
Yeah.
Who is a member?
Yeah, that's important.
And there are the associate members or the affiliated members.
Yes.
You'd have institute, you'd have companies that would be affiliated members or sustaining members. And that whole discussion of what is the membership sort of defines, in a way, what the institute is, right? So you'll have people. Now, there'll be many people in the Institute that are not part or even affiliated with the teaching program.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So they may choose to say, well, look, I'm interested in offering a course.
That's right.
In material. But it's not the Institute per se that decides that. It's a graduate faculty that is responsible for the materials PhD program that decide that. So where you bring people from the Institute is that they become part of that graduate faculty. And there's a process of doing that.
Yeah. The only complication we have now
is
that, for instance, you're an electrical now.
Yeah.
Electrical may want you to teach a course. So, and then you teach a materials course. So what they're trying to do is to give you a chance to co-lease your course.
Well, but that's a technicality.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the issue is what we...
Well, it's very important because we're in a very unique situation.
What we put in our handbook is that these are the courses that are available.
Yes.
And then you can go and list any course. But that we'll do that by discussion among the graduate faculty, new and old, I mean, whoever we bring in, as to say, should these courses be part of what's offered to our students? Remember, they're getting a degree, so they're not in an open field. You have to tell them
Totally agree.
I also agree entirely with you. I think let's focus on the research first. It's the core of the center.
Right.
And then all these things can be sorted out later on. Those are the details.
Even director of the institute. You'll have a director who'll have to worry about all of these things. But there'll be a graduate director, and it's his business to determine what the graduate program is.
The institute director now, the grad director goes to the institute director.
Right.
The institute director goes to the dean,
yes,
and so on and so forth. Yeah, I think that's fine.
The point is
you can't talk about institute without talking about the components. Let's agree that we have a grad degrees that have to be, offered, and that is why the way it is now, you can't run materials from aerospace, from electrical, from biomedical. That's the problem. You have to have a common place where you say, okay, this is a grad office. This is a MOAC grad office.
Yeah, I agree. But you know.
That's exactly what, Teklin, if you read the minutes, there are three items that he listed here. One of the, need for this, according to them, is to find a home for this program. So the institute becomes a home.
But that means administrative.
Component of that, yes.
Administrative.
That's the whole thing, because the faculty then go to the institute. The MOAC faculty, whether I call or what, goes through the institute. The institute knows whether we have enough faculty to teach the courses or not. If, for instance, there are no faculty in the polymer area, the institute then highlights or indicates and then notifies,
I'm not sure it's an institute. We're getting into details here. You see, whether or not it's like a school director.
The graduate program has to go through some umbrella. If it is a traditional department, the grad program is a part of the department.
Right.
You see, you are now in electrical. So the grad program is not electrical, because electrical have their own graduate program.
What does that have to do with it?
No, the point is that is the major actually function of this institute, is to make sure that this grad program is still there. We have students committed to this.
Now you broke it. That's not the major function of this. It's not even the function of the institute.
Okay. Do you read the minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the institute is not our idea. It's coming from the dean. And then one of the needs that they found.
Can I say something? I think at this stage, as the dean said, that we have a possibility to shape this as we wish to make something different.
Yes.
And may I say that it just occurred to me that in the United Kingdom, when I was in the United Kingdom, we established what is called as the UK Research Centre in Non-Destructive Evaluation.
Yes.
The UK Research Centre in Non-Destructive Evaluation is a consortium of universities,
mm-hmm.
but that could be also a consortium of schools within the same university. But the beauty of that is that there are like 15 industrial members. They're part of the UK Research Centre. And each of them pays a membership fee to be part of this centre, which
excellent
is...
That's the affiliation point.
The affiliation point of that. Yeah. And the way the centre runs is that we have research programmes. Core research is defined. These are core research projects. They are agreed between the universities, or in this case would be the schools, and the industrial members. So we have three levels, actually, of this type of research. The core research, which is general. So everybody agrees that there are topics, particular
that
topics,
is
that is to benefit to everyone. So to all the universities and to all the industrial members. Then there are, and these are long-term projects, so this is a span over 5 years. So everybody agrees that this is going to be done in 5 years. We are going to pull resources that come from industry, the university, the funding agencies. In the UK, we have EPSSC. Here, there are other things, because they're tapping to the Ohio funds. So these are five long-term core research projects. Then we have intermediate projects that we call target projects. So these are is research that is more focused towards specific industrial needs. So it's agreed on a subset of the industrial members that are part of the center. And again, these provide research opportunities for the master's student and the NGD. We have an engineering doctorate program that runs with that. So PhD and NGD. Actually, that's also maybe a good idea, the NGD. So and the thing continues, and I don't want to go into all the details of how this works. This model, actually, we have copied it from a model that was here in the US, Ohio State University, have a research center in undistructuring. And I personally believe that this is the way forward for us, because we can leverage the industrial context of Ohio in an easy way.
Yes.
And how about we propose to have an engineering doctorate instead of a PhD? Would it be...
That's a doctorate of a different connotation.
It's a more, yeah, so the difference between a PhD and the NGD is more industry focused.
It's not the institute to determine what the graduate program is. The graduate college does that. You see,
right, but we can propose it to.
It is, and. You could have an institute, and the graduate program could be administered by, say, SEBMBE or by.
That's fine. But
so what that means is that they would undertake to list the courses.
That's fine. I agree. So there is no contention.
He may not say, look, when he picks a director, he may not say, well, we want this to be like airspace school.
Yes,
you know, he may not be a school director with all the teaching functions. And you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fine.
It's a research. So the administration, all it is, it's somebody that interfaces with the registrar and with this, with the teaching system, so as to get the courses in and so forth, right? And we shouldn't confuse that issue yet. The issue that concerned the school is that we are broadening, we'd like to accommodate as many members of the faculty of the school as would like to be affiliated with the graduate program.
That's
okay? That's a totally different thing. And it doesn't have anything to do with the institute.
No. I think I think we agree in a lot of areas. The area we don't agree is this. Supposing somebody calls you and says they want you to do this, but this is what you have to, you are limited on what you can do. For instance, the first reason they gave is to make sure that the MOSC degree grad programs have a home. That's the first thing they said.
Right.
Yes.
May I add something? I think it all can be reconciled in a way that we cannot have as a primary mission, like as a number one mission, educational, because that will be very difficult to sell it to industry.
Yeah.
But we can have it as part of the mission. So I think it all can be done. We probably, like, if we focus, as I was suggesting, on the research, and this is that issue. So this, our mission statement starts with this, okay, this is an umbrella. For all biomaterials, for all
biomaterials
research, for all people in different, and like you had this three centers, for example, which I think it's like something like this. So this is an umbrella for research and liaison to industry, like all these connections to industry. And then we have, okay, we provide the home, is whatever this proper way to call it, for the graduate program. We need to be careful again how we say it, so that it would be like correct from the graduate school perspective, from the teaching perspective. But I think like it will look strange if you start the mission of the institute with a just education.
Okay.
Is that I don't know.
Well, I agree. I really agree. It's not just one component.
It
has to be more than one component.
It houses the graduate program.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's say
it doesn't determine what the graduate program is.
I think what Pete Klim was saying is that that's the need for us, and it's like an internal understanding.
Right.
That's what we need to do, but we do not necessarily need to put it up front as one mission, our mission to the world. You know, like we need to think how
it's
we present this institute.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like if somebody goes to UC website and clicks on the institute. Webpage, what do they see?
Yeah, actually, the benefit of the Institute of the Graduate Program is that a student coming in would see, look, there are people in biomedical, there are people elsewhere, I'd like to work with that professor, right? Or I'd like my... So they apply to the graduate program. Yes. And it's a draw in the sense that there's a broader base of advisors. We have that now, but it's not that structure. That you know, that you can, anyone in biomedical or even medical can be a thesis advisor. But now that broadens the base. People coming in will enrich the environment in that they may bring a course that they wish to offer, you see. But it's not the business. Institutes don't run graduate programs. They accommodate them, okay?
Okay, all right, okay. Before we go, as far as research is concerned, are there members here who have particular trust areas they want to, because we'd like to actually identify at least three trust areas. And there are some listed here, but it would be good for committee members.
Why three?
I think there was a discussion last time as to not having too many, if you don't have enough faculties, if you don't have enough faculty members to be involved in them.
We do. That's where the question of membership comes in.
Yes.
Because now, if you identify the members and say, hey guys, you're all members of this institute, let's say there are 30 people or whoever it is. Now, if there are people there, then you would.
Should identifying the trust area then be left until we know the membership?
That's right.
So we don't have to
Precisely.
Do that now.
Precisely.
Is that what the committee thinks?
That's what I would say. And then you would pick, and the trust area.
Okay. But in the meantime, those committee members who are here, do they have any particular trust areas that could be, listed of now?
They don't have to run it. The committee.
I know, but they will be members already of the institute.
Yeah, but I think we need to. the problem I have is that when we started to talk about these. Thrust areas, we need to bring in someone that has expertise in that
and then you might be a member of this committee.
Okay.
You see,
we can say that at least as of today,
right.
The committee thinks that defining the trust areas should be left until we have the membership of the institute.
Well, the committee can do it, but you would draw on the bigger group and say Professor X, who is not a member of the committee,
could
be asked to head up this
because if you look at the dean's chart and the associate dean's chart, they start with trust areas. They're already listed. Those are the things, but they don't know how it will work.
Right.
So it's the committee to tell them that we can wait until we know who is a member of the institute, and then based on the expertise, then the trust areas could be defined. We can make that statement. And so that, because...
Well, we did define that. The RESCO had an area which we did define.
This is reflected in this one.
I just
would like to add one more thing.
Yes.
On the number two, it's written biomed, energy, I'll put a comment, put electronics, materials for electronics.
Right.
This will satisfy the electrical computer side.
Okay.
Otherwise, the rest is fine.
Okay.
I just want to make a point that we have to think of the students. If I have to bring again this Canadian experience, they have the students invited as associate members or affiliated members, and the students feel affiliation to this institute. So we have to think how to bring the students, graduate students, to the party, so to say.
They will be if they're part of the
party. They have to know that. They have to express interest. They have to say, I'd like to be affiliated with this
institute. You know how they did at UConn? When I went to UConn, I was there as an institute student. They were students from chemical, electrical, and biophysics. But seven of us were recruited as institute students. Indeed, our stipends came from the institute. So there's a mechanism for doing that. For instance, those who run the graduation center, the students involved in that, could be part of the institute, And then, then other students also involved in, programming could be getting their degrees from, electrical, chemical, and so on and so forth.
There should
it is.
Be a joint seminar.
And also,
two of them go
yes.
from aero, from biomedical, from chemical, from, and they listen to the speaker.
Exactly.
And they feel affiliation to this
That's perfect. And we had actually three institute faculties too. this faculty who actually are institute faculty.
And those areas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that raises an interesting point. Is there a materials component within the institute?
Oh, it's very big. Well, they have MOSC.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they have MOSC. Then they have polymer program in the institute. Then they have even metals program there. Yeah. Actually, now it's very big. It's a material biomedical.
There's biomedical with the protein stuff, too.
Everything.
There's
a lot of protein. Yeah, Professor Knox was there.
I mean, that's the premier of this kind of institute in the U.S.
Yes.
Yeah,
the and they have their own building. It's actually a huge. The state of Connecticut, you know, funded that. They started that every year. They devote a lot of resources to that. So what I think is that, indeed, you know, we'll be sending copies of this draft to everybody to then make corrections and then modify it, because we have to have something organic that we are working on, because at the end we need to present them with some draft documents.
Yeah, if this engineering doctorate, this could be housed.
I think it's very good.
Different degrees.
I think it's good.
You could develop a new
degree
like that.
It is good to indicate that.
I don't exactly know what you have in mind, but if you wanted to. I mean, you could draft something
people
even at this point.
Right, right,
you could say, like, that could be part of this.
Yeah, I mean, actually. In materials, actually. I mean,
I'm not sure exactly what it is, but, you know.
Yeah,
it definitely fits.
It exists in America as well.
It'll be plenty of room for degrees like that in this thing.
The doctrine that the doctrine has come about is basically, it's either a course, mostly course-based, but basically an industrially affiliated.
Yeah, exactly. So you have a supervisor that is based in industry and one in academia.
Yeah, and you spend a good time,
and,
in the middle of your time in industry to do that. It's quite
a
different thing from
your thesis is structured in a different way, as very much an applied topic.
That could easily be part of this.
I think it would be a key thing to do.
There's nothing to prevent it being part of this, especially if you, but they would be done with affiliated members or industrial members.
Yeah. It would be
and
a separate
I think
entity.
The other important point of this is that you make it very attractive to a good student to come here, because they know that after that they will have
a job.
You
got a job.
Because that's how it works. This is,
this is missing here.
Yeah, they got a job.
I know people from
industry,
they want to do PhD, but they cannot afford to come 3-4 years to quit there.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
So this is in Europe, it's very well pronounced.
So the heart of this institute, if we don't have industrial affiliation, and fairly strong.
We die, yeah.
We die.
So how do we, so the key priority is for us, right? And how do we make sure that we start to jump off, start running?
Well, we have to have a core that people want to join. If there's, this is a
and industries also want to participate.
Thing, they don't, the, you know, industry's not going to spend.
So is there any way we could involve some industrial players at these early stages?
We can. We have to get our house in order first.
Yeah, we have to. Well, actually, I think that after the first phase, then when membership is being defined, and also there's this industrial advisory board, which also will be part of the institute, which will be different from, you know, the integrated industrial participation that we're talking about. I think at that point, you know, we just give them a blueprint, and then that blueprint then would then make them say, okay, we want to establish. You know, as of now, we're not even sure they're going to establish the institute. Is what we give them, if it's attractive enough and it doesn't cost them too much, they may decide, oh, this is a good idea.
Yeah,
you know. So they want us a blueprint to say, this is a very good idea, go ahead, and then hopefully they involve us at the next stage. You know, we are now membership and resources that is needed.
I think on that blueprint, we need to have a mechanism already for industry to
do. Oh, yes. Okay, great. Yeah, I agree. Actually, you know, if we want to, what we can do is to look at the outreach and define that a little bit more on what that component, since we agree that this is already structured, and then the research trust area probably related to that, but we can spend a little bit of time to define, and then the industrial part, the outreach part, and then because that's an area probably that is new to the university, or how it functions, you know, the composition of that, the role of that, and then how it could help us. If that is defined, I think probably we can devote the next 3 meetings on that, and make it a major, development from the committee, you know.
I think this idea of the engineer of the degree from industry, even in BME, we have had several people
yes.
who wanted to
oh, yeah.
get a master's or PhD
yes.
while working in the company.
Yes.
And I know that our course for curriculum, they could not
I agree.
But so if we set it again, it's like within the body of industry,
yeah.
this will be a way to attract industry.
Right.
Yeah.
And
then sponsor
and
students
as well. I think
you know?
The point I want to make is that, and this is based on our experience,
right.
we run this now for over 8 years,
yeah.
and we actually get much better students applying for the NGD rather than a PhD program. Because you know that bright students here, they don't want to work in
students.
A PhD. They want to go and work in industry.
Right.
Yes.
This is a mechanism that allows bright students to pursue their goal of working in industry, but at the same time grow intellectually through a program which is not just some crazy scientist or math professor.
I agree. I think GE...
And that's one of the weaknesses that we have here, students. Master students, graduate students are not as good as our undergraduate students, at least in my department.
BME, it's a different story. We have very strong graduate students normally. But again, I know that we did have a couple of students who we couldn't accept for this reason. We would accept them, but they could not finish the coursework.
Yeah.
Our domestic students are weaker, but our foreign students are stronger, I think.
Yeah. Because we're not getting, actually the same reasons why we're not getting the very good, the top domestic students. Because students with a GPA of over 3.7, they go to industry directly.
Mm-hmm.
And these students will definitely benefit from integrated graduate program. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's why GE has this year program. You know that GE, if you get their master's degree, you can rise to become their general manager and director. You don't have need to have any other degree. But PNG doesn't have such program. And like you said, I've had a friend of mine at PNG who's taking classes in color chemistry, wants to take class in polymer chemistry, but there's no mechanism for him to get a degree. He's taken up to 15 courses.
I mean, this is exactly right.
Yes.
I know a person, she wants to do PhD. She gets now as engineer at a company as $55,000.
Yes.
And we invited her to join the PhD program, but we offered her $24,000.
Yeah.
How can you expect this person to give up
everything, their house,
and go to live 4 years on 24?
Yeah. Yeah.
There is no mechanism to have it from the industry.
Yeah. And actually, with the NGD, the clever thing about the NGD is that very often it's the company that sends you to the person to apply for an NGD. And what happens is that you pay the $22,000 that you can pay,
and
the company top ups. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they have an employee, they actually
that's
they pay for less.
That's a good model.
It's a winning model, yeah.
So it's good for the company, they pay less,
yes.
And it's good for the university.
Because you get to do business with them.
That sounds very good. The question then would be, would that be under the industrial component, is that also part of the educational program in this case?
Yeah, it is part of the education program because these students
need to
take.
I think we need to integrate as much
integrate
as we can rather than try to divide. I don't know, it's my personal opinion, but what do you think?
I really agree that this would definitely attract very top local students.
We need actually U.S. Citizens because most of our research is export controlled, with GE and Air Force or whatever it is, so they have to be U.S. citizens.
I agree.
But that would need, to approve a graduate program.
Oh, yeah. Well,
grad
school,
it's a major thing.
Yeah.
It takes like 2 years, I think.
Yeah, but the moment you start the mechanism, start that emotion, I think people will see the need, for it.
I'm sure there's going to be, people will see the need immediately.
Yes.
Because that's the mechanism which is absent that you see right now, I think, right?
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that sounds good. And then,
a grad program much easier than an undergrad, though. I mean, it's just only local.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's only local because the undergrad has to go to the state border
regions.
Undergrad
is only local.
Yeah, it's just
then
local.
It's easier.
Yeah, so it's just up to the provost. The board of trustees has to approve.
Yeah,
but that isn't.
That's
it's
right.
Not
much
hard.
Easier.
Yeah, it's much easier.
Well, that's good.
Mm.
Yeah,
we have to think of the budget. It will be critical. Again, in Canada, they have a ratio. Any member, shares 10 or 15% of his or her overhead contributes to the institute,
yes,
and the rest goes to the department. Something, some mechanism has to.
It's
without budget, this thing will die.
It's very important.
Will die.
It's very important. I agree. I think that that budget is important also in trying to put proposals together in emerging areas. For instance, places where this has been successful, the college or institute could give, like, you know, 5K to a team that's trying to,
yeah,
you know, put together a center proposal, you know, so that they can use this both for paperwork and then to visit, you know, the funding agencies, you know, and make all the right connection so that at the end there's incentive for a major professor to leave what they're doing to focus on trying to help us, you know, attract a center. It's a major, major event because you bring a major center here for 10 years, you are funded. So there has to be an incentive. And actually having funds that is available to the institute becomes very, very crucial. If there is a junior faculty member who has just joined one of the schools but is a member of the institute, then senior faculty members who are really good at proposal writing has to work as a team with the junior faculty member to develop initial proposals. Indeed, in some universities like Delaware, you know, you are rewarded for helping an assistant professor get a career award. The team leader there is rewarded for doing that. So if there is, you know, a benefit to do that, to spend your time doing that, then you do it, you know. And Dr. Kina actually did tell the dean that he has to fund it. And I think it's wise to indicate that the committee agrees,
yeah,
that part of the overhead, you know, has to come from this, and also some other funds, you know.
Even if they are serious in this, probably they can give a line, let's say a secretary,
yes,
that will be dedicated full-time, at least for the first year for this institute. Because there will be a lot of paperwork. Someone,
yes,
has to notify, to get information, process, sent, and stuff like that.
Exactly. Talk to the industry,
yeah,
you know, and so on and so forth.
Should,
yeah,
be a place also.
Yes.
Let's at least a small office or something. Otherwise, everything.
Did you hear what Teklin said? He said that someplace in Victory Parkway, you know, arts and science, you know. Yeah, but I agree. It has to be a place here that is within the mainstream of the university, you know, but yes.
I think it can be done, something like what they do in the cardiovascular center of excellence. It's,
yes,
just to have a person like 1.5 day a week or something like this. And I know that there's stuff here,
exactly, yeah,
which works part-time, so they can just add a day to their time or something like this. I know that we have stuff like that at BME.
Yeah.
Yes.
They only work for 3 days out a week or 2 days out of the week.
Yeah.
Like
so if we say there's a need for personnel and then a location,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
then...
Could be a student hired, I mean, to... There are good students that do good,
yes,
job, even better than secretary.
Yeah, like we do at AMCC, you know,
yeah,
students run, you,
yeah,
know, yeah.
It would be cheaper.
Can I ask you, you said about the budget for that Canadian Institute. Did they have a budget up front, or they started it later, once they actually...
Initially, I think the president of the university gave them a couple of $100,000 to start, for startup. They had a strong support from the president of the
university,
yeah, because it was an umbrella institute for the whole university.
Yeah.
The guy saw that it's something that's a winning course to bet on. In our case, the financial situation is very bad right now.
It's worse,
for the college to ask for this, but at least they can give us a student assistantship, I mean, scholarship, so one student can be 4 hours a day at the place, a cubicle,
mm-hmm,
with a telephone and stuff, or in the computer communicate. Best will be to have part-time or full-time secretary,
yeah,
they call it assistant.
Yeah. You know, now Dala and Simbi, she oversees the the materials program, right? Courses listing and whatever. So she's there, but part of her work is actually to.
Who is that?
Dala. Dala. You remember Dala?
Dala, yeah, yeah, I know Dala.
That's what she's doing there. Now. It's part of her function is to take care of any remedial issues with assigning, finding, you know, classrooms and so on and so forth, yeah. So that personnel and then resources. And then I think we should then spend the next two meetings on discussing the industrial, how, you know, component of this, how that will work, also integrated with, you know, let's say, if a D-inch or inch D, you know, how that could become actually a very important tool for the institute.
Transfer of people, basically. Yes. It's a transfer of knowledge and people.
Exactly.
I may also say that I think we need to expand on these research topics because the moment is, it's a list of words, but what do they actually mean? And for instance, here it's not apparent what the role of civil engineering is going to be. There is a lot of research on concrete, developing new concrete. The infrastructure is crumbling in Ohio.
Yes, yes.
The roads are breaking apart. So,
I mean,
it's a composite material, concrete. Mm-hmm. But I think from aerospace point of view, right now, the hot topic is a CMC. It's not any metal composite. It's a ceramic matrix composite. So we can specify that straight away.
So we can actually say composite and structures, you know, to both address,
composite,
you know,
and structures.
Yeah, that could address.
That's fine, but I think if you want to sell that to industry, you need to be a little bit more specific.
Well, it will be broken down then. Remember that this is just a name. Then you had to define the content of that and then what different areas.
Right, but so when are we going to do this? Is it that important to do it?
Well, yeah, well, we can start right away.
With,
I think it's good to, you know, I mean, to try to define this a little bit more. For instance, somebody also had advanced materials and, you know, whether that is, you know, that would accommodate a traditional materials focus, you know.
So may I say that... Because here there are going to be several players, so we know who's going to take care of a nanomaterial. Can you suggest that we write four lines for what we think the nanomaterial contribution to the center is going to be in terms of opportunities and same thing for biomaterials? What sort of why is this important to the center? And then we circulate this. So I can write the bit on NDE, for instance.
Okay.
And I'm going to formulate what I think the research mission of NDE within the center should be.
Okay.
And everybody else does his bit. And we collect this together. And we circulate around the table, what do you think?
Right, so that I think that's a great idea. I had a question, so like because we have it in several places, we have it in that diagram, and we also have this in the primary mission.
Yes.
So, right, are we going to have like a general, very, very general areas, and then within that area, we will have a clarification or like saying, okay, what are the focus areas within that big thrust? Is that the structure? Or we want to list all which we think is important, like up front? You know, how we, because I think how we think about it and what we talk about now will depend on which strategy we use. Right?
Actually, it's very interesting because, you know, the suggestion he made was the line we're going, then we're called to, you know, to slow it down because the definition of the thrust areas and the composition is actually, you know, will come later on once the membership and, you know, is established. But I think that the committee members who are here needs to be proactive in suggesting, you know, from their own experience.
Right.
And then because people have sent them, the school director has sent them to represent their interests too. To suggest, you know, trust areas that actually already is an active area or an area that they're interested in. Actually, I'll go beyond that to say if you indicate, let's say, ND or CMC, we'd like to know how many faculty members, one or two, who are involved in that, and then the kind of activity, you know,
right,
because this becomes part of the background information that anybody who comes later will say, wow, I like this, I joined this. When I was having this discussion, people in mechanical, in aerospace, in civil, were interested in simulation. There are two or three professors from each of these schools who are interested in simulation. You know, so you see that this becomes an active area. In the materials, there are two people or three who are also interested in simulation. You know, computational, let's say, material science. You know, that is an emerging, very important area. You know, so but we have to articulate this, and then later on, modification could be made. This could be broadened. You know, or people could decide that some of this could be tied together. You know,
I'm thinking that if we can suggest like a very general name for those trust areas, names which are exciting now, you know, like you know your area, but try not to be too focused, because we wanna have these several umbrellas so that people, other faculty, oh, you know what, like I think I can belong here, and then within that area we can have as many.
Yes, I agree with this.
As you know, very narrow.
Yes.
We'll be lost because we'll end up with a list of 15, 20.
Yeah, and that will not exactly.
Should be something, we know the trends in the nation, in the world. And, if we have four, let's say five areas maximum, general areas, I think people will fit.
That's what I'm thinking, right? But we need to suggest, like, why don't we think about it maybe at the next meeting, suggest, and then we discuss.
But can we, what I want to say is that we need to have these keywords but with a paragraph, because I read Andy, okay, what do they mean by Andy?
This was in the past.
Yeah, exactly, so this could be the headings, then we can change them later on, it doesn't matter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But my point is that if we write 100 words, for instance, for each of, let's say we do 100 words description of each of them, we put together a single document, and then I take this document, I circulate it among my colleagues in aerospace.
That sounds very good.
And then, are you interested?
That sounds very good.
And then in this way, we put together all the players.
That sounds very good. Actually, indeed, I modified the second page here to include the structures and composites and remove a nano electronic center. And then since we already have a nano technology and advanced material.
And my question, for example, I don't know how general we can be. I would vote that in the initial areas we will be very general.
Yes,
you know,
right. I agree.
Description. And then, for example, can we combine together? It's one of the things, but I needed to think, you know, like for the next time to think about how to present, like for example, for my area. Can we combine nanotechnology, advanced materials, and biomaterials?
Yeah,
because again, you said...
Yeah, that's right. Okay,
like,
so biomaterials comes there. Yeah.
Because biomaterials, most of them belong to the nano.
I agree, okay.
Or it's a polymer thing.
Yeah,
you
and
know,
then...
Or it's something... Like, I can come up with a general thing what's out there as far as the biomaterials, and then I probably can have your advice
and input.
Integrate where to put it. But
okay, that's good. The other thing I would like us to do, you getting a soft copy, Microsoft Word copy of this.
Right.
And I want you to also go there and then make some of those changes there and then add to this list if you do wish, you know, and update it, you know. And then we want to have a revolving document that everybody will be getting, you know, making comments, and then when you do that, you just highlight it, you know. In this way, we become very proactive and also very productive, because at the end, they want to have seen that we have come out with something that will allow them, what we don't want to do is to give them an excuse that they turn this over to faculty, and the faculty then, you know, they started their intellectual stuff, and at the end, nothing came out of it. We want to give them more than they need, so that at the end, they won't blame us. It's like, okay, you want to do this, this is what you have to do. It's all up to you. And I think in that sense, you know, taking this active step will be very, very helpful. So I will circulate this and then modify it. Also, we'll follow through with providing information that, as you have indicated, I think this is very key, because eventually we may come out with a brochure, and that has to actually provide some of this information. including who will be involved, who are participating, the initial people. I think that is very important, you know, so that we do that.
We'll provide what they want, but simultaneously we'll have to say, here is what we are suggesting, here is what we need.
Yeah.
We need
to do it.
Budget and so on.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
That's
I agree.
In front of you, you decide what to do.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
You can't make it, there's no half measures.
No commitment, yet. Just commitment, but also
yes.
Something
yeah.
Coming back from.
I agree. Then, you know, that very day, the discussion meeting, the team was there, and he was telling them, you have to fund it. You have to fund it. You can't do this without funding.
Now
you know,
we
if you're
can
serious.
Specify
yes.
What do we need.
Yes.
Here is what we need.
Yes. And then can you help us develop, as far as, since you read this through, the budgeting aspect and the cost
yeah,
aspect,
okay.
And then so we can integrate that. That would be really pretty good. And then you help us with the inch, you know,
yeah,
so component.
Right,
yes. And then would you explore, you know, bio and nano, you know, center? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then talk to people also in BME, what role they would like to play and whether this is what they really want.
But, so can I say that before we talk to people,
yes,
we get together this list
yeah,
of topics,
think,
okay.
And then you just forward it and say, I'd like to chat with you,
with
read
that.
This background
okay.
First.
Okay.
It has to be short because otherwise people
okay.
Don't read
okay.
And target it. So we make some effort.
Okay.
So of course everybody's not here, so we will need to send an email asking people to do it.
Okay, yeah.
We give a 100 words limit is probably enough.
Oh yeah, should be enough.
Please?
100 words per area. So we will end up with a 600 words, 700
yeah.
Words.
Yeah,
right.
And you know most of these things are not really new because if you check the other institutes that they have in material science, most of these centers are already there. So you actually can see our strength, how we can, you know, feed into that or improve on that or innovate on what they already have, you know.
So my question is that in those 100 words, what do you think should be? As far as, well, I understand like the basic sort of definitions, right?
Well, the vision, I think we would...
The vision,
the vision of what, in my case, is the vision of what NDE is going to do in this center. So we are going to attract industry support. We are going to develop methods that might be targeting a special area of materials.
Mm-hmm.
Non-contact techniques for high temperature. Right, there's a wealth of different applications. It doesn't need to be specific, but...
Is it need to be like justification? Okay, that some sort of indication that it is a hot area now, like, I don't know, finding like what
yeah.
Resources has been...
For instance, the nanobio area could be a research, you know, team that focuses in the, you know, use of nanomaterials in devices, in medicine, you know, sensors, and then the target, what kind of industry need this, you know, where is funding going to come from, NIH, NSF, who are the participating, you know, members, and so on and so forth. You can actually define it. In advanced material, that would include both the traditional and emerging smart materials, smart metals, you know, polymeric materials that actually could be, you know, targeted towards energy systems, storage energy systems, and so on and so forth, as well as structures, you know. And then also, where do we expect resources to come from? From industry, from DOD, from the first research laboratories here, they have to be a major player in this institute too, you know, and then from NIH and the NSF. You know, a little preamble, and then who are the people who will be involved in this area? You can actually list up to 5 faculty members already have expertise and then, you know, funded in this area. Is there any local industry that already been involved and so on and so forth? I think a little bit of that, you know, synopsis of that. I mean, the nano world is a well-established, you know, center now, and then that has a lot of activity in this area. But
you do a lot of, it's not that nano thing in general. You work with nano carbon tubes. It's different from the biological.
That's why I'd like to, I mean, probably we can talk with Daria because biomaterials go beyond nano, I mean, implants and so on and so forth.
Right.
And nanotechnology goes beyond bio.
Much,
so that's why I think nano is more like umbrella. And biomaterials is more specific, like materials, biomaterials, materials for energy, materials for electronics. That's why I think
I think
integration.
For instance, the nanomaterial that target these cancer cells.
Yeah.
The nanomaterial that deliver, you know, that simulate nerves.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Right, but I also
but
think
stent is not nerves. A screw. It's not now.
Exactly, yeah.
So but clearly, there is a cross-link, cross-fertilization with
other
things.
Because when we talk about screw now, that is part of advanced material.
Okay, how we can do
and this design.
It's also bio, because it has to be biocompatible.
Exactly. So it's actually fitting very well, you know, with more than one particular.
Well, in my case, I can tell you that our research right now, NDE can apply to anything, but... there's no money in anything. The NDE, you make money if you service aerospace industry, and you service oil industry and power industry. These are
maybe
the
we should
things.
Look at an industry, like start with the industry and then define the
thrust
from
so
that.
That's what I would do. No? Since industry is going to be a play.
Because
we have
metallurgists working in airplane engines and things that would fall right in line with what your NDE is doing. So rather say like the aerospace industry and then say these things are under it, rather than saying like NDE and metals as separate thrusts or something.
And metals come under advanced material. I mean, part of that, an NDE.
I mean, if it's industry driven, maybe we should just say the industrial sectors. I mean,
oh, that's fine. Of course, yeah.
As the thrust, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, but we would have also, I think, problem of fitting in more theoretical things like computational. So computation is a service to all these other industries.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think to me that's a key area here. Other than nano,
we can have two classifications. Computational that doesn't really. So we could.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that's a good suggestion. Mm-hmm. So we should do a list of the industries that we think we would be able to
benefit from that
to others. With this center, and but not any industry in general.
No.
What we have around here,
right?
And I think that's also very important. So maybe together with this thing, we should have a separate another single pager on specific industries that we think we could successfully target.
For instance, how much contact do you have with Johnson & Johnson?
I personally don't have any contacts with industry.
Ethical data suggests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people at BME do.
Yeah.
And definitely in the undergraduate level they do. With all the devices.
You know that Ethicon, they actually have, I went to the lab once, they actually have characterization equipments. They have microscopies and all those things all over the place. You know, one thing that a major university does that really works for them is that they convince these companies not to set up another microscope when there is one here they can use and make it very attractive to them.
It's much cheaper for
make
them.
Exactly.
It's much cheaper for them to come
make
here
it very
than
attractive
running,
to them.
Because the expertise is here.
Yes.
Sometimes they have facilities like Procter & Gamble. They come here because they say you have more expertise when you look at something. There is something that is going beyond just science. It's more political. For example, University of Buffalo established recently a multi-million-dollar materials center, and senators and governors were behind. But they had a name. They said, we are going to replace rare earth metals.
Mm-hmm.
And rare earth right now is very sensitive. Even the president is talking to the Chinese, please don't play with the rare earth card because it's dangerous. So we have to have some kind of a political message also. What are we going to achieve? Is it going to be general in materials? Is it going to be in bio, better quality of life? We have to think of some kind of...
that's very interesting.
In order to get support from the
state
of Ohio,
mm-hmm.
from the
mayor and not to duplicate what is already existing. For
otherwise, instance, we'll play with $500,000-$300,000 and it's not enough. These guys are playing now with millions
of dollars. That's the impact.
University of Buffalo gave them millions of dollars. They decided to bet on this.
And I think actually the list is already out there because Ohio, the state of Ohio, has published what the priority.
Yeah, I was going to say, we just need to check there and then make connection with the local.
In fact, you put the first brick in this, I mean, with this proposal with General Electric.
CMC,
CMC, it's a program from Ohio, from the state of Ohio. And so on. So we have to go even beyond the university, on behalf of the university, benefiting university, communicating with state of legislators saying this is for the good of the state.
But you know that communication comes from the upper administration.
But we have to initiate.
So the dean have now to convince the provost that this is an important thing. And then the provost...
Yeah, but we have to sell it. We have to make a sale pitch here. And if they buy into it, then we're done.
We have to make the case.
So this areas that Ohio is interested in, did you look at it? Did you?
It's all published. There are millions of presentations online.
Clear
Material is one of them.
Actually, the major one is Material.
And because Ohio relies a lot on aerospace industry is a forefront of materials in general.
It does. Indeed, the local universities here many years ago.
And since our best chance of getting money is to tap into local resources, I think we should package the center to address what is locally needed.
That sounds very good. So that's on the website. If you go to Ohio.
No, there are. I don't know if it's in the website. Probably there is also that there are PowerPoints. Everywhere.
The Ohio Department of Development.
If
you go to Ohio Department of Development priorities, Ohio Third Frontier.
Ohio Third Frontier. That's the
Frontier. We'd like to get a take a look at that, you know, because that would actually help in shaping. Indeed, the areas, the focus areas that we are, you know, could be now, you know,
tailored to the
direct towards some of these needs, you know. Okay, so do we have enough to do between now and then? Not everybody signed. Who didn't sign?
Me.
Okay, you didn't sign. You know, so we're going to then write a little bit about the focus areas. And then you're gonna help us with the budgeting and the financial issues, and then you also help us with D inch. And then she would help us explore. Darian, we would like to know other contacts from College of Medicine that we can tap into. Do you know any?
It's like, I don't think the way it works there, they're looking for money as much as everybody else. So we can't really, and then like if you even mention some of overhead here,
they won't come.
There's no question. It will not happen.
But they can be part of industrial something.
I can't speak to several people who might do something.
That would be good. That would be good.
But again, like I think from the College of Medicine, it will be providing expertise.
That's fine.
For other companies.
Yeah.
Like it's basically it's what we have here. So we, you know, PNG or whoever else, like in certain things, if they're interested in some particular testing or models or animal models or studies, that's what the College of Medicine, at least like connections that I have, will be. But I don't think we can benefit from them, from this.
Well, can they benefit from being part of the institute? For instance, I know they have a lot of connection with Medtronic, you know, and the Medtronic many years ago were interested in corrosion protection or stainless steel.
Well, it's separate. I mean, it's there can be some faculty, and it's like there are a lot of people in. I think Viesco may have actually better connections there than I do. But
okay, that's fine. So then work on the one of the nano bio, you know, focus area. I mean, whatever you think.
What we what we have is the, like, so we have it purely biomaterials.
Okay.
It is a from, like, it's a clinical application stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Right, and it's for, like, is it wound healing or in anesthetics? Jason Short, he was at the first meeting. He's not on the committee, but I'll definitely speak to
okay,
him.
Okay, that sounds good.
So it's like we have, it is a biomaterials and how you do
perfect.
The testing in the animals.
Perfect, okay.
Okay.
And then, Greg, you work with PNG a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this educational something, even D-Inge, he's working on it, but, I mean, it would be good to see, run it through your contacts, what they think about the Institute, how we can help them.
They'll like it.
How they
I mean,
can participate.
They've changed, I think they changed the name of their research center to the materials.
Can you believe this?
You know, I mean, they're anything materials they're really hot on. I mean.
Okay. So, because we need all this information, you know, as part of the document eventually that we will attach as appendix to them, to the call, to the dean, you know, because if there's a need for this, you know, via Ohio, state of Ohio's areas of focus and the local industries, and there is also educational need, faculty and students, you know, both as associate or, you know, the major degree areas, then this is very important. Actually, you know, years ago, Ohio identified materials, that's about 6 years ago, as a major area.
Still?
Yes,
still.
They did. You know, so UC's materials help establish a Rice State materials. You know, the faculty here had to go there and spend time helping them start that. And then, so all these other universities have taken off as far as the materials in education and research is concerned. So if we do this right, we'll be getting students from, even the GE students, there'll be two categories now. There'll be those who are there who want to be PhD. Like those people who took the master's, you know, courses, actually want, a few of them wanted to get the PhD. But how do they come to UC and then spend time here while they're still fully employed? You know, IG. So this will be a one way to probably alleviate that kind of problem. All right, I think we should call it
it's a day. Move to adjourn.
You move to adjourn, and
yeah.
then you support
okay.
him.
Right.
Okay. Great job, okay?
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay. So the pen back?
Yeah, that's yours, right? It feels so good. You know what happens with pen? Somebody gives you a pen, and then it really sticks to your hand, you know?
Right.
Thank you.
Some marking to do. I need a red one.
Okay, I know. That's right. Red markers. So Greg probably be good to get a minute.
Yeah.
So that
I mean, I was out of town all week.
I know.